It matters greatly to listen to my voice and listen to my spirit. You are here because I brought you here. You are in the right place at the right time. And I will do my work in you. It'll be glorious and it'll be great as I pour my love all over you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And visiting different destinations in the Bible, locations where the presence of God showed up in an incredible way. Very excited about tonight, as I've been excited about, I'm just excited to preach the gospel, amen? I just love preaching and teaching God's word, because it changed my life when I was 12 years old, and I'm 47 now, so it's been a long time, amen? I love teaching his word, I love practicing his word, and I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Tonight, we're going to visit a place of transfiguration, change, and to see God's glory. Amen? You know, God sent his Son to this earth so that you and I could be transformed. We could undergo a metamorphosis, and we could go from death to life. We could go from darkness to light. We could go from sorrow to joy. Amen? We could go from ourselves to Jesus. So tonight, we're going to visit another place called the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen? If you'd like to follow along in a Bible, or you can read on the screen, see, something happens to an individual when they're exposed to God's glory. You can't help but be changed when you get into his presence. His presence has a changing effect. His presence is a very real essence. It's God has a presence. Amen? It would be no different if the President of the United States were to walk in here. How many know the President has a presence? Amen? I mean, he blocks traffic. Right? He has an entire security detail. They have a presence. God has a presence. So how many want to be changed tonight? You know? And whenever God changes, he always makes something better than what it was. He always improves the situation. Any change that's done by God is never from good to bad. It's always from bad to good, because God is good. Amen? So, Mark chapter 9, and let's start with verse 1. And he said to them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. How many know that God's kingdom's got some power to it? Amen? And then he said this. He said, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Okay? He was transfigured. All right? He was changed. He went from his natural self to his supernatural self. And Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of what Jesus was and what he's going to come back as. See, when he came to this earth, he came as a baby. He didn't come in all of his glory. But when he comes again, he's going to come in his brilliance, in his majesty, in his splendor, in his magnificence, in his glory. So Jesus took these three disciples with him. Okay? And they went to a high mountain. All right? I want you to notice this. Here's a truth. God always wants to take you higher. Amen? He comes down to where you are for the purpose of bringing you up to somewhere higher. God always elevates people. He always leaves them better than what they were. Okay? And we can see here that it was Jesus who led them. Okay? He was the one who instituted this. He said, hey guys, I want to show you something. Why don't you come with me? Now these were his three closest followers. And this was one of the places that they got to go that the other disciples didn't get to go to. You say, well, you mean God has favorites? The closer you walk with Jesus, the greater experiences you're going to have. Everybody can have great experiences, but it's determined by how close you walk with him, how closely you follow him. Amen? And so Jesus led them. He led them into a high mountain. You know, God loves mountains. Did you know that the ark rested on Mount Ararat? Did you know that Isaac was offered on a mountain? Did you know that Moses encountered a burning bush near a mountain? Did you know that the law was given to Moses on a mountain? Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. So God loves mountains. Do you know what? His mountains are his footstools. That's where he likes to rest his feet. Amen? And did you know that Christ ascended into heaven from Mount Olivet? It's true. It's what the Bible says. So he's into high places. He's into mountains. A lot of good things. Guess what? This church is on a mountain, isn't it? It's on a hill. Amen? Do you think it's a coincidence that when you go out into our parking lot, you get a clear view of the mission field that we are all called to? When you go out tonight, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this mission field. Amen? And you can practice what God's called you to do here, and wherever he sends you, wherever you end up, you can carry it on. Right? But while you're here, you might as well be useful and share your story out there. Okay? Now, I want you to know something, that mountaintop experiences are only a brief moment. You will not spend your life on the mountain, but you will visit the mountain. Amen? So, Christianity is not going from one mountaintop to the other. Because sometimes you need to take what you got on the mountain and share it with the valley. Amen? So, here's another truth. Jesus always leads you to higher places. He gives you better experiences. He gives you greater spiritual clarity. He gives you insight into the spiritual realm, and he will give you a glimpse of his glory. Did you know that God wants to share his glory with you? He wants to share it with you. He wants you to experience it. All right? And then we take notice that they were by themselves. Also in verse 2, it says they were by themselves. There are times when God needs to separate you from the masses. All right? He needs to get you out of your comfort zone. He needs to get you out of your routine so that he can show you something special. Okay? It was just Peter, James, John, and Jesus. It was just four of them. All right? And they went on a little excursion, a little camping trip that was not an overnight thing. But what they saw, what they experienced, what they encountered was priceless. All right? God desires an intimate, close relationship with you. You know that? God moved heaven and earth just so that he could have a relationship with you. All right? And there are only things that he can show you. There are only things that he can speak to you. There are only things that he can reveal to you. No one else can. Amen? And it is in these times with God, these times where you enter into his presence, these times where he takes you higher, those are the times that are precious and valuable. Those are the times when he makes great deposits into your heart. He wanted them to see his glory. They got a glimpse of his glory. And you know what? You need to spend time with him daily. If you make an appointment with God, he'll be sitting there waiting for you to show up. He longs for that. Jesus loves you. He loves listening to you, and he loves giving you advice and guidance and direction. And the only place where you get things straightened out is in his presence. It's the only place where your vision is super clear. Where he makes that deposit into you. Amen? So, Jesus speaks to you best when there's nothing to distract you. You know, it's hard talking to a person behind a newspaper. You don't know if they're sleeping or if they're paying attention, right? Communication ought to involve your vision, your hearing. You ought to be present in the conversation. No one wants to be talking to someone who's not there but there, right? Hello, you're somewhere else. Where are you? Pay attention. I'm talking. I'm sharing my heart with you. So God speaks to you best when there's nothing to distract you. And how many know in this world we have a lot of distractions? A lot of things can distract you from what's really important. All right? Athletes said, you know, it's never crowded when you go the extra mile. See, these three followers of Jesus, they got to go the extra mile. They got to go where no other follower got to go. Why? Well, you're going to have to, when you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord why. All right? This is just what the Bible records. Okay? All right? And also in verse 2, all of a sudden, right before them, Jesus was transfigured. He was changed. Okay? And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. There's nothing on earth that could make it as white and as bright as what it was. This was supernatural. This was heavenly. This was divine. Okay? They got to see Jesus, how he was in heaven before he came to earth. Full of glory, full of power, magnificent, glorious, standing in awe of him. Okay? Did you know that the Lord will show you, this is the truth, the Lord will show you what's to come and what you can expect. Do you realize there's a scripture that says Christ in you, the hope of glory? Do you know that when Christ was in his full glory, that's how he is in you? Now, right now, we just have a down payment of what Christ is going to do. The Holy Spirit is our down payment, all right? But there's going to come a time when our time here on this earth is finished. Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, we're going to connect with our glorified body. We're going to get the full measure, and we're going to be just like him. Okay? But Christ is in you. Therefore, his glory is in you. Say, I'm brilliant because I have brilliance in me. Do you realize that you've got the power in you to make a diamond from a lump of coal? You've got the power of God in you. You're a powerhouse. You believe that? You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can cast out devils. You can share good news. Amen? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're visiting this place. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. It's where Jesus, three Gospels record this happening, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 26, let's read through 29. Colossians 1, 26 through 29. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? Who are the saints? Right. He's not talking about a football team from New Orleans. He's talking to you and I. We are saints. How do we become saints? Because we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts. Okay? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. Did you know that God wants to share with you the riches of the glory? With you. Say, God wants to share with me the riches of his glory. He is so glorious that he could share with everybody on the planet and still have more than enough. His glory is all-inclusive. All right? Oh, this is powerful. Verse 28. Whom we preach... Well, no, I'm sorry. The riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God gave you the person who he put his glory on in you. And because Christ is in you, you now have a hope to receive his glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That means complete. Listen, no other person on earth makes you complete but Christ. You did not become complete when you got married. You did not be complete when you graduated college or got your master's degree or got your doctorate degree. You became complete when Christ entered to your hearts. Christ is the missing piece that everyone in this world needs. And we are complete when Christ comes in. Why? Because when Christ comes in, now we have access to the Father like we did in the beginning. That's what makes us complete. All right? Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Did you know that there's something working in you mightily. What's he doing? He's changing you from the inside out. He's giving you a glimpse of glory from, you know, there's going to be lots of times where you can encounter God's glory. Okay? It's not just a once and done thing. But as you walk with Jesus, you go from glory to glory. Amen? So don't think because you experienced his glory 5 years ago that you never will again. Let me tell you something. As you walk with God, you will experience his glory as you go. Why? Because you've got the glory in you that gives you hope. All right? Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is talking about the future when Jesus returns. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When did you become a son? You're a son right now. Daughter, right now. Okay? How'd you become that? You accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. The only way to become a son of God is to accept Jesus in your heart. Okay? Now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Do you know that when Jesus appears, you're going to be just like him? You're going to look like him? You're going to shine like him? You're going to glisten like him? Why? Because the glory will become full. Amen? And you're going to shine brighter than your car does after you just got done waxing it. After you just got done buffing it, you're going to shine just like he shines. That's powerful. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You purify yourself because you want to look good when he comes back. Amen? You got to keep yourself pure. You know, you could light a fire, but eventually that fire is going to diminish, isn't it? So what do you have to do to keep a fire going? Feed it? What else? You know, when the fire just gets to the red coal and you want to bump it up, what do? Right? You blow on it, and when it gets that air to it, when it gets that oxygen to it, it ignites it, doesn't it? You start with a little, you got a little ember, but when you blow it, it becomes a flame. Amen? So you got to keep adding fuel to your fire. What's your fuel? It's the Word of God. You got to keep breathing on it. What's the breath? It's the Spirit of God. You got to keep adding the Word and the Spirit to your life to keep the fire going, to keep it burning hot and bright. Because we have a hope in us, and that hope in us causes us to purify ourselves. Amen. And then, what happened when Moses spent 40 days on the mountain? What happened when he came down? Does anybody know? His face shone. Now, he was not in the S-U-N light. He was in the S-O-N light. Right? He got a S-O-N tan, a suntan. See, when you're in his presence gets on you. His presence begins to transform you to look like the presence. And his face shone so brightly that they asked him to put a veil on his face, didn't they? Go to John 17. the Gospel of John 17. I want you to see this. John 17 and verse 24. Do you know who's talking here? Jesus is talking here. Notice what he says. He's praying. He says, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my what? He wants you to see his glory. He's praying to God that we would see his glory. To behold means to see, doesn't it? Which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're still talking about Jesus being transfigured. He was changed right before them. He was shining brighter than the sun, brighter than the snow on the sunniest day. I mean, how many of you know, you've looked at snow when the sun is shining on it? You can't even look at it, right? It hurts your eyes. Jesus was brighter than that. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Oh, this is good. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the what? See, right now, if we right now on this earth in our natural state, we see the glory of God kind of darkly. It's kind of like through an opaque glass. You know, you can't really see clearly through it, all right? Because if we were to see God in all of his glory right now, our bodies, the way they are, would not be able to handle it. Even when God appeared to Moses in Exodus 30, he hit him in the cleft of the rock, and he only showed him his backside because he could only handle that. Okay? But notice this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Guess what? When you keep looking at the glory, something changes in you. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even though it seems like you're looking at the glory through the glass, if you keep looking at it, something starts to change. And you go from glory to glory. Something starts to transpire. Something starts to transfigure. Something starts to move. Something starts to shift. And you get to, you become like the glory you're looking at. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said that his clothes were shining white. All right? Actually, just write down this scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Peter said, I was an eyewitness of the Lord's majesty. He was there. He got to see it. And he wrote about it in the book that he wrote, 2 Peter. And Peter received honor and glory from God when he heard him speak out of the cloud. All right? Is this helping someone tonight? Okay, his clothes were shining. Here's the truth. God's presence changes you, purifies you, and makes you holy and bright. Amen? Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Revelation chapter 1. Verses 13 to 17. Okay? The Bible said that his clothes were shining, right? You might say that Jesus was a rhinestone cowboy, right? Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. And they burned, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Remember when he walked in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He's got the feet to prove it. They were burned like bronze. And a voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I would too. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. In other words, Jesus told John, he said, I don't mind you seeing me this way. He put his hand on him and said, I don't mind you seeing me this way. John fell down like a dead man, but Jesus was okay with John seeing him this way. He must have wanted him to see him that way. Amen? All right? Hallelujah. Let me get through this quickly, Lord. All right, go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel 7, 9. He's telling about a vision. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was what? White as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. Can you get a picture of the glory of God? Hallelujah. Did you know that John 1:14 says the Word of God became flesh, and we beheld his glory. We beheld. What does it mean to behold? It means to look, to see. Amen? God wants you to see his glory. Okay? Oh, go to Isaiah 61. I gotta show you this verse. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I believe that we're going to be primed and ready to experience God's glory tonight. Isaiah 61, verse 10. It says this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. When it comes to rejoicing, how should we do it? Greatly. Listen, God is so good, we should not minimize our rejoicing about it. We should get fully excited, okay? I rejoice greatly in the Lord. And my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with what? Whoo, he put on you a robe of righteousness. You have garments of salvation on right now. And you know what? Y'all look good. You have a tailor-made garment. Doesn't the Bible tell us to put on Christ? To put on the new man, right? To put on the armor of God, all clothing, right? When you're feeling heavy, he'll put a garment of praise on you. He'll put you into the choir. He'll put a choir robe on you, and all of a sudden, heaviness will be changed into praise. And once you start praising, you're not going to feel so heavy anymore. You're going to feel light as a feather. So if you came in here heavy tonight, praise him. Amen? So he clothed me with garments of salvation. He covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself out with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Let me tell you something. When God clothes you, he makes you look good. That's the kind of garment that we have on right now. Then, back in Mark 9, two other people appeared with Jesus, Elijah and Moses, and they were having a conversation with Jesus. That proves heaven is real. Because Moses and Elijah left this earth a long time ago, and there they're having a talk with Jesus. They must have just relocated to heaven. That proved that heaven is real. Because Jesus was having a conversation with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. They recognized who it was. Okay? Glory to God. So heaven is real because Moses and Elijah left the earth a long time and they were talking. Now, why Elijah and Moses? Jesus said, before he comes back, there's going to be the spirit and the power of Elijah. And Moses represents the law and Jesus fulfilled the law. So that's why we got these two guys that are talking here. All right? Now, as a result, Peter said, I want to set up a shrine. Listen, you can't worship your encounter. Too many people want to worship the encounter and not the one who gave you the encounter. See, Peter wanted to set up a shrine. It said he wanted to set up a shrine. Let me just read it. Peter took up the conversation saying, Master, it is good, suitable for us to be here. Let us make three booths. So don't worship your encounter. Yeah, you had an encounter. But that is not who you worship. That is not what you worship. So many people get stuck on an encounter that all they're ever after is an encounter. They go from here, they go to there, they go to there. They're looking for an encounter when they can have it every day with Him. Don't worship the encounter. Worship the Lord. Encounters will come and go. Enjoy them when they occur, but move on. We're not to live by encounters, we're to live by faith. Amen? The Christian life begins when a person encounters the presence of Christ and they confess Him as Lord. Encounters will come and go, but the Lord will be the one who remains. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Encounters will continue as you walk with God. All right? Just think, for example, we have to be led by His Spirit and study His Word. See, if you want to have an encounter with God, then walk with Him, allow His Spirit to lead you, and study His Word, okay? The apostles, those who followed Jesus, they saw people get healed throughout the 3 years that Jesus ministered, didn't they? They saw people raised from the dead. They saw the blind see. They saw the lame walk. They saw people walk on water. They saw provisions multiply, bread and fish, right? They saw a great catch of fish that almost sank two boats. What am I saying? They had several encounters with His presence. They just didn't have one encounter. But as they walked with God, as they followed God, they had multiple encounters with His presence. They got to see multiple displays of His glory. And guess what? When He left, they got to see a house shake. They got to see demons cast out. They got to see people set free. They got to see fire come down from heaven. They got to see their world changed with the gospel. They continued to have encounters even after He left because they still had His Spirit. And then finally, at this place, at this location, there was a cloud that overshadowed them. Did you know that a cloud is God's shadow? Dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91 says. Right? This word, overshadow, means to cast shade upon. It means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. I like that. Who wants to be enveloped in a haze of brilliancy? Oh, it's going to happen. It means to invest with supernatural influence. All right? Now, here's the truth. The cloud of God brings His presence, His voice, and His commands. Listen to this. Exodus 19:9, the Bible says, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak." So when God's shadow comes, get ready to listen. All right? Exodus 19:16. "It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings, lightnings, and a thick cloud on the mountain." Thick cloud. Can you just imagine God's arms just wrapping themselves around you and you get so enveloped in His love that you don't even know what's happening around you? Or you get so full of joy that no burden can stick itself to you. See, God just comes up and He gives you a big, giant hug. And He wraps you so tight, you'd be like, "Whoa, where am I at? This is so good." Yeah, God's hugging you right now. He's hugging you. Exodus 24:15, "Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain." Exodus 34, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." That's when He took the spirit of Moses and put it on the 70 elders, and they prophesied. Can you just see a cloud? The weatherman, there's a cloud moving into Palmyra tonight. But it's not a thunder cloud. It's not a storm cloud. It's the cloud of God, and it's just moving and hovering over you. Whoo! Exodus 40:34, "The cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Whoo! Numbers 11:25, "The Lord came down in the cloud." Revelation 1, "When He returns, He's coming in the clouds." So God wants you to experience His presence tonight. He wants you to have an encounter tonight where you can behold His glory, you can hear His voice, you can come out of the natural into the supernatural. You just got to open up your heart. Amen? God is faithful. He's a good God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Let's just stand to our feet right now. And I want you to begin praising Him. I don't want you to worry about who's behind you or who's next to you or who's in front of you or whatever. It's just you and the Lord. You need to be fully engaged with your voice, with your body, with your mind, with your spirit. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We magnify you. And your intensity is going to increase. It's just like building a fire. It's going to get hotter